Hey everyone, and welcome to the final episode of The Investor Mindset. My name is James McFarland, Senior Portfolio Manager and Investment Specialist, and in this series, we've talked about having a better long-term investing experience. We've gone through some of the core topics in investing, things that are very important for anyone interested in investing or being in the markets to know about. And on this, the final episode of our series, we're going to relax a little bit and have some fun. Like a lot of you, I'm sure, I'm a pretty voracious reader. Always have been. And being an active reader, I think, is a great way to be a lifelong learner. So in this final edition of The Investor Mindset, we are going to go through some book recommendations. As we've been going through these different topics and ideas throughout this series, I hope that many of you have become more interested in the psychology of investing and the mindset that goes into investing and just investing in general. You may be interested in taking a deeper look than what we've had time to do in this introductory series. And that's why on this episode, I'm going to give you just a few book recommendations. These are books that I have read and that I found to be insightful or impactful for me in my career as a money manager and investment professional, or that I think reveal something about Wall Street and the people there, or are just good fun reads. This is by no means a comprehensive list of books to read, just a few that I think are particularly valuable. Now, I'll preface this by saying that I don't agree with every single thing in these books. And some of them, I used to agree with them mostly, but as I've developed in my career and as I gained more and more experience in the market and managing money, I've changed my views in some regards. So I don't endorse everything in these books, and I don't endorse any particular method or strategy. What I do think is that the books contain valuable knowledge and can help most folks get a fuller understanding of the world of investing, Wall Street, and the capital markets. Okay? So let's get started. First of all, if someone were to ask me, you know, I'm interested in investing, but where do I start? Or say you have a teenage son or daughter you wanted to give something to read about investing. What would you give them? Or you have a friend who has literally zero experience investing and just want them to read something to gain a grasp of things. Or you want to work with a company like Oak Harvest and want to be a more informed client. Well, besides listening to this very podcast series, I'd say the book I recommend right now would be Investing Demystified by Lars Kroijer. That's Kroijer. Lars is a former hedge fund manager, a very sharp guy. I had the pleasure of meeting him several years ago when I lived in Tokyo, Japan, just before he published this book, in fact. And his book is an easy-to-understand, straightforward, and short book that talks directly to the average individual investor. His main point in the book is that your average retail investor, the average individual investor, someone who's not working with a team of professionals, someone who's just getting started out there all alone, typically does not have an edge in the financial markets. That means that most retail efforts to beat the market, time the market, and do all those things we've talked about in this show usually don't end up helping. He even argues that it is, in fact, an irrational way to invest. And that to be a rational investor, the average retail investor has to go about things a very different way. Basically, he argues that the fact that most retail investors do not have an edge has to guide every other investment decision. So rather than looking for hot names or beating the market, retail investors have to focus on things like keeping costs and taxes as low as possible, getting and staying diversified as broadly and as cheaply as possible, he recommends using ETFs, keeping a portfolio simple and optimized, knowing your risk appetite, and similar topics. Lars's approach is very simple to understand. Anyone can adopt the approach he outlines. And if you're a new investor and not yet working with a professional, this is probably something to look at, though it ultimately depends on your personal situation and your objectives. This is a book I do think investors can grow beyond, and if you're working with a team of professionals like at Oak Harvest, it's going to be a bit different. But the core ideas in the book are great. It's not flashy, it's not exciting, it's just a straightforward presentation of good foundational level knowledge for the average retail investor. So I recommend it as my beginner's book to investing. Next up is something a bit more advanced, and it is not just limited to investing. The book is Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman. This is, in my view, one of the best books about investor psychology and the investor mindset and just general human decision making available. The book dives into great depth about almost all of the biases and issues and topics that we've looked at over the course of this series and does so in an insightful, in-depth, and entertaining way. Now, it's not specifically about investing, it's about thinking. Kahneman starts out by describing two systems of human thought, System 1 and System 2. System 1 is our fast, automatic, and largely intuitive, unconscious mode of thinking. System 2 is the slow, methodical, rational mode of thinking. System 1 produces very quick, very rough drafts of reality. That System 2 then draws on to arrive at explicit beliefs and reasoned choices. This is the starting point of the book, and the rest of the book is about the way these systems operate, interact, and the biases, flaws, and heuristics that play into human decision making. You can probably already picture how all of this ties directly into investing, where everyone is making a lot of different decisions. What goes into those decisions? How do investors reach those decisions? Are they making the best decisions? Are there better ways to make those decisions? I think this book has a lot to say to the person who wants to be a successful long-term investor. It's quite a lengthy read, and I don't want to dive into too much detail here, but it's very enjoyable, even though it's long, and well worth the time and effort involved. And if that book sounds interesting to you, then this next one may as well. It's called Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds by Charles Mackay, M-A-C-K-A-Y. This book may win the prize for the best title. And it's a real classic of crowd psychology, first published in 1841. The author here touches on all sorts of interesting stuff, and I think that you can argue the main points from an investment perspective is to learn to identify and avoid speculative bubbles. Mackay writes about specific financial bubbles from the past, but the lessons are still as relevant as ever. It also helps that the book is written in a quite entertaining style, and I think that investors can still learn quite a lot from reading it today, because people haven't changed. As we've covered in this series, humans are still vulnerable to the same biases, distortions, and hype-fueled manias that we were 150 years ago. But this is also something that we can learn from and then try to make better investing decisions. Helping people do that is what I and the whole team at Oak Harvest are all about doing. There are a lot of modern books that could be considered descendants of Mackay's books that are also well worth reading. Irrational Exuberance by Robert J. Schiller, This Time is Different by Reinhardt and Rogoff, Manias, Panics, and Crashes by Alibert and Kindleberger are three that come to mind and all are very good reads. Now that's quite a lot of investor and crowd psychology. So what I'd like to do now is move away from that arena a bit and tell you about a couple of books that dig into some of the more recent history of Wall Street. These books are not only entertaining and very enjoyable, but also give readers a keen insight, an inside view, so to speak, of some of the characters that have been active and prominent in modern Wall Street. And I think having that view is a reminder that a lot of the lessons we've discussed about investing and challenges involved in investing apply to the people on Wall Street just as much as anyone else, and perhaps more so in some cases. It's a reminder for us to remain vigilant and cautious as we wade into the capital markets. And I think it's another reason working with a trusted advisor is very beneficial for most people. There are two books in this category that I'd like to recommend. First, Greed and Glory on Wall Street, and second, When Genius Failed. There are a lot of great books in this category, but I picked these two because they really show different mindsets on Wall Street that lead to serious problems, and also because they're just rip-roaring good reads. So Greed and Glory on Wall Street, The Fall of the House of Lehman by Ken Auletta, A-U-L-E-T-T-A, is an older book, and tells a story that is, it's just straight out of 1980s Wall Street. It tells the story of the power struggle in 1983 between Lou Glucksman and Pete Peterson, co-CEOs of Lehman Brothers. A power struggle that led to both the departure of Peterson and eventually the sale of the whole company. Lehman Brothers is probably most familiar to people from the 2008 financial crisis when the firm collapsed entirely. This book shows the roots of that collapse go much further back than most people realize. And it's really just a revealing look into the culture of Wall Street during the 1980s. And it shows that perhaps not a whole lot changed at Lehman Brothers from the time of this story in the 1980s to 2008 and the demise of the firm. Reading this from a much later vantage point, it's pretty shocking the mindsets that are on display here. From an investor standpoint, it's very educational. This is the destructive Wall Street mindset exemplified. This is what we, as investors, need to stay away from. Next, When Genius Failed, The Rise and Fall of Long-Term Capital Management by Roger Lowenstein, Lowenstein. This is a story of long-term capital management, one of the most famous hedge fund disasters in modern history. LTCM was famous for being run by some of the most powerful minds in finance, including two Nobel Prize-winning economists. I mean, the guys at the top of this hedge fund were the cream of the crop in financial academia, using ultra-sophisticated models to determine their strategies and trading plans. And yet, the firm blew up and almost took the whole U.S. financial system down with it. What I think this story shows is that even the smartest, most sophisticated minds are not immune to some of the very issues that we've been covering in this series. Core principles like risk management, being flexible, future versus past decision making, and staying humble apply to even the brightest minds of the financial world. That is why it's an important story for investors today. You and we and I are not bigger than the markets. And keeping to core disciplines like what we've talked about all throughout this series is absolutely essential in my view. And those are the recommendations that I wanted to give you on this final episode, but there are plenty of other books that are great reads. Just to give you a few titles, Too Big to Fail by Andrew Ross Sorkin, Liar's Poker and the Big Short by Michael Lewis, and over on the psychology front, Animal Spirits by Akerlof and Schiller, as well as all of the Market Wizard books by Schwager for a direct look into how many well-known money managers and investment professionals think. The key takeaway of all the readings here, in my view, is to, again, recognize our own weaknesses, to see where investors, whether small or large, have stumbled, and then learn to address these weaknesses and become better long-term investors. It's what I do as I work for my clients every day, focusing on building portfolio management systems and plans and strategies that are cognizant of and deal with things like emotional decision making, basing future decisions on short-term past performance, getting caught up in the madness of the crowd, and on and on. And whether you work with me and Oak Harvest or not, I encourage you to do the same. And with that, we come to the end of this episode and to the end of the Investor Mindset series. If you've made it through to the end, I hope this series has been educational for you, that you've enjoyed it, and that you take away a few things that will give you more confidence in being a long-term investor and help you be a better long-term investor. This has been Senior Portfolio Manager James McFarland. This has been the Investor Mindset. Remember to tune out the noise, and I'll talk to you again soon.
All content contained within Oak Harvest Podcast expresses the views of the speaker and is for informational purposes only. It is based on information believed to be reliable when created, but any cited data, indicators, statistics, or other sources are not guaranteed. The views and opinions expressed herein may change without notice. Strategies and ideas discussed may not be right for you, and nothing in this podcast should be considered as personalized investment, tax or legal advice, or an offer or solicitation to buy or sell securities. Indexes such as the S&P 500 are not available for direct investment, and your investment results may differ when compared to an index. Specific portfolio actions or strategies discussed will not apply to all client portfolios. Investing involves the risk of loss, and past performance is not indicative of future results.